Good morning, Hector. How's it going? Good morning, everyone. Hey, Harjit. Hey, how's it going? Connie's here. Justina's here. Deppendals are here. We are going to get started. I know people are going to keep on coming, but we're going to get started. We have Mom and Ashley are living it up. I think they're in London right now. Yeah, Mom always wanted to go to Europe, but Dad never wanted to go because he only ate like 5 different food items and so would have starved to death if he had left Los Angeles. So it was one of those things that she had always wanted to do. And my sister, Ashley, has been more than once with her husband. And so Mom's birthday is tomorrow? Yes, it is tomorrow. Today's April 15th, her birthday, or May 15th, her birthday's May 16th. Hey, Todd. So in celebration, they went off on this whirlwind tour. They went to Versailles and Paris and now London. And tomorrow, for her birthday, they're going to see Phantom of the Opera, I believe, in like one of the fancy theaters. And that is one of Mom's all-time favorite. In fact, the initial rigging here... was for that big old chain held a chandelier, and for summer camp we did Phantom of the Opera with Masquerade and all of those, and then at the end, Dad, you know, rigged it up and the whole wooden chandelier came falling. You know that chain has a fail proof of like over 2,000 pounds. I was like, how heavy is this chandelier gonna be? Are you lifting a car up there? Anyhow, so if. If the sermons don't work out, we'll just do Cirque du Soleil. Me and Todd will just be flying around. Anyhow, and Judd is off in Topanga at the Banjo Festival. Because what could be more bluegrass than Los Angeles? But we persevere and we head on. So with no Mom, music's going to be a little bit different. Thankfully, Mr. Mendoza has stepped forward and we're gonna keep on going. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. We'll get started with a word of prayer. Lord, so you say where two or more are gathered, there you are. And we got that covered. Please come and be with us now, Lord. There's so many distractions and things to take our mind's attention off of you nowadays, Lord. We're busy with jobs and people and relationships. So easy to forget about things that really matter. So we thank you for this time and for these people and for this place to come together and put our minds on higher things, thinking of you and thinking of how you love us, Lord. So give us this time together. Help it lift us up. Bolster our spirits, Lord. Heal us in our bodies. Bring us together. And as we praise your name and think about your life and what you've done for us, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning shall I direct my press unto thee and will look up.
Good morning and welcome. For a hymn this morning, we're going to still do a hymn out of the hymnal, hymn number 358. So if you have the strength and willingness to stand and sing with us, we're going to sing Because He Lives, number 358.
God sent His Son
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, your dearest assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone. Because I know I hold the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Thank you for singing. You may remain standing because we're going to skip the usual anthem we have and go straight to praise time for a couple of songs before Gabe speaks.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, I want to see you. Every day I look to you to be the strength of my life. You're the hope I hold on to be the strength of my life. 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 Today. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life. Today.
The Lord of my life.
Every day I look to you. To be the Lord of my life. Breathe on me and make me new. To be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life today. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life today. Created me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Draw me day by day.
Draw me day by day. Your presence, O Lord, and let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Restore unto me all the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
One more time.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Draw me day by day.
Draw me day by day into your presence, O Lord, and let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Restore unto me all the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. For He is the Lord, forever His throne shall reign.
Forever
heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. For He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. For He is the Lord, forever shall reign.
Forever
heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. For He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, switching hats again. We're going to pick up reading the fourth chapter of Acts. Peter and John arrested. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. but so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them, on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each other as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet."
Morning, everybody. I'm going to have another slug of jet fuel here. Dad would be most displeased, Hector. Gaby, you drink too much coffee. Turns your hair gray. Just a quick word before we dive into the scriptures. Those of you who didn't hear, Mom and Ash are on a whirlwind adventure to Americans in London and Paris. So they're going to be, they're living it up. Ashley's kind of like Dad. I was like, "You're going to starve to death. You're just going to have to eat." Because she's an indoor cat, we call her Hector, because she likes things just the way they are. But they're having fun, and Judd's at banjo something. So we persevere. We go. You know, I myself am a little tired. I was doing the Lord's work this week, Stephen, and I took the eighth graders to Washington, D.C., and it nearly killed me. In fact, I may have died over there, and I'm just an apparition that's appearing to you guys. You know, somehow sleeping with like six eighth grade boys in a hotel room, not as glamorous as it may sound. And one of the boys had allergies and was son laws. I had both my earphones, like with white noise, like gentle calming breezes and raindrops in full, and both pillows like this. And he's just tearing the roof off. And I was like, if I kill this person, can I plead temporary insanity? I'm just joking. Anyhow, so if I'm a little... It was crazy, Daniel. We had, on the way back, we flew, and one kid had motion sickness and was about to throw up. Another kid's ears weren't going to pop. they couldn't seem to deal with. But we made it, and we saw everything, except for the Air and Space Museum, which was closed, the Museum of African American History Museum that said they closed at 5:30, so we went to Arlington National Cemetery and then came back, and it was the last day before we left. And they close at 5:30, but they stop letting people in at 4:45. So we had showed up at 5, and they wouldn't let us in. But other than that, we saw all of the memorials, took a million pictures, all of the kids did all the Instagram and TikToks. I was feeling a little bit worried because I don't want to sound like, you know, a grump. But I felt a little bit weird that on the spot where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous speech, my kids are doing TikTok dances to the... And I was like, we want to take pictures and, you know, we're not listening to Young Jeezy or whomever. But we made it, and a good time was had by all. So, but it did remind me the symbiotic nature of our mind and soul and our bodies. The more tired I became, the harder it was for me to be patient. The more irritable I was. It was like the Holy Spirit was telling me to be patient with them. Gabriel, they're children. This is a fun thing for them. It's not work for them like it is for you. You have to be patient. But the more tired that I became, the more jet lagged, the less sleep, it was harder for me to hear that voice, and it was easier to listen to all of the excuses about why I should be upset. Did that make sense? The Bible says that life is in my Father. Jesus says, life is in my Father, and He gives it to me, and I give it to you. And life and youthful vigor is part of the gospel. He made our flesh to be healthy, to be rested and full of energy. And the devil wants to take that away from us, so it's even more important to get after that. The more sick you become, the more tired you become, the easier it is for the devil to slip in those lies. And so I always, you know, talk with my students and with my own children and people who care what I say. People can get so transfixed on the nature of sin and good and bad and forget the actual consequences, right? I tell my kids, you should not do drugs. Not only because it's bad, but because it'll kill you. It will sicken your body. It will steal the life. It will steal the vigor. It'll steal the clearness of your mind. It's not only that it's a sin. It's that it has damage in the flesh that God created. So I really think it's important, in addition to all of our spiritual and metaphysical musings, to also take care of our corporeal flesh in any way that we can, whether that's in our diet and exercise or our sleep. I don't know about you guys, but I always have this thing with me. If they make a chip that puts in our brain, I'll probably be the first one at Apple for the new iChip. And I always go to sleep with it. And I don't know if that's such a good thing because I'm like looking at it and then it causes me to get less sleep. I don't know. Something that I'm thinking about. But in addition to our spiritual journey, I think that there is a physical component that needs to be addressed as well. Because the devil wants to rob us of the joy that is being alive, being healthy, being young, being full of... When you're young, you take it for granted. And then at some point, it starts to slip, and you don't realize, and things get harder and harder and harder. Anyhow, that was just for free, Danny. That was the sprinkles on top. We haven't even gotten to the Christmas ham yet. But I will keep it brief. He said, we have now left the Gospels and are getting into the book of Acts. And after that, I believe we said we're going to go into the letters of Paul. I don't know if we're going to get into the book of Revelation and all of that can of worms. But it's at this time, Jesus is up in heaven, making moves, doing something. And his disciples are here on earth, deciding what the next step should be here. And there are, as with any time you get a group of humans together, there's going to be differences in opinion as to what the next step should be. And there are many of the early Christians who see Christianity as a Jewish faith. It's a Jewish religion. And they have a history of Jewish religions being exclusive. So there is the Jews and the Gentiles. Gentiles is everybody else. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Everybody who is not Jewish is a Gentile. But Jesus says to spread the word to all corners of the earth. So that would include Gentiles, is the idea. And they are fighting. And we'll see this as we continue to read through Acts, and especially as Paul is brought into the scene. They're fighting about who can be saved. Later, when the Romans get a hold of Christianity, they put their whole spin on it. Who can be saved? What's the nature of Jesus? What's the nature of the Father? What's the nature of the Holy Spirit? And they argue on and on about it. Some people say, he's all one thing. It's all one thing. Well, that's a problem, because when Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's crucified, he's talking to somebody else. God, if there's any way to take this cup, he knows what's going to happen. He's going to be nailed to a tree. It's going to be terrible pain. He's going to feel that. If there's anywhere else, please. And it says the answer comes back from someone else. Sorry, dude. This is the only way. So that's a problem. Then later, Jesus says it's better for you to go because I will send you a helper. That's another thing. So what does that mean? Are there three or is there one? Is Jesus divine, God, or is he man, or is he both? These arguments get extremely heated, even to this day, about the nature of God, the nature of creation, the nature of heaven. And I think that there is merit in thinking about those things, right? When I was a kid at Redeemer, I think they still teach it like this, but creation is like a short, pretty easy, simplified. God wakes up on the first day, says, let there be light, and let it be separated from the darkness. And the second day, he says, let there be dry land, and right, and he goes on and on and on. And then on the seventh day, he rests. And we did a little skit, I remember to this day, Mrs. Doty, who made us sleep in nap time. I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles towel, and if you were good and went to sleep, then nothing happened. But if you were bad, you got spanked with a ping pong paddle. And I remember we had a little play, and we were all dressed up, right? And we all acted out the different days, right? And then we had the birds and the fish of the sea and all these kinds of things. It was very cute. And then on the seventh day, the kid who was playing God lays down in a bed and goes to sleep. Adorable, right, actor? But did God actually rest on the seventh day? The creator of all things, an entity that existed before time and space, became tired and went to sleep or rested somehow? That was difficult for my mind to comprehend. How could you even be tired? You've only been alive for six... I would argue this. There is merit to thinking about the nature of existence. However, the more important question in my mind is looking at yourself and your own actions. The devil constantly wants us to look at other people. He divides us. Napoleon had a very famous strategy, divide and conquer. He attacks the Prussians. He runs down the center, marches his column right down the middle, splits the line in half, and then conquers either way. I firmly believe that the devil has a similar strategy. He has been getting humans to put each other into categories our entire existence. There's us and there's them. Even Christians, there's Catholics and there's Protestants. There's Democrats and Republicans. And as long as you are focusing on the other person and how they are wrong, your attention is drawn from how you can improve yourself. I spent so much of my life, and continue to do it, looking at all of the things that other people need to fix. It's like automatic, constantly. I'm driving, look at all these idiots around me. I don't say that out loud, I try not to. The kids get bothered. But I'm thinking about how all of the people are wrong in the way that they drive. Then I get out of my car and I go to Starbucks and I look at all of the people that I think are rude, or all of the people that I think are impatient, or all of the people that I think this, that, and the other thing about. Then I open up my phone and I look on Instagram because I hate myself. And I look at all of the different people's pictures. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's not cute. Then I open up Twitter and I look at all of the different people's things and I think wrong, 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 kind of right, wrong. And I go through my life looking at other people. And the entire time, I'm not working on myself. When I think back about how much I do it, the time that I've been robbed, how much of my youth did I spend in arrogance, thinking that I had it all figured out and I just had to explain it to everybody else once I was given a chance. It wasn't conscious. I was just, people were talking and I was just waiting for my turn to talk. Get on with it. You're wrong. Let me just explain it to you. That's the lie. Constantly focused on everybody else, our friends and neighbors, our enemies and adversaries. What are they doing over there? Instead of looking at all of the work that needed to be done. And there's so much work that I need to do. And I would argue there's so much work we all need to do. Jesus tells the parable that really struck with me. He said, the man in the house is armored and prepares for the man who can attack and take his belongings. In my opinion, that is the devil that's represented by all of the things that we need to work on. Our envy, our wrath, our lust, all of the things that keep us from being our true happy selves. Jesus said, it's only when a man stronger than him comes in and takes his armor that the house can be pillaged. Each one of us is filled with potential. I look at my son, he is, and this is completely objective, he is handsome, he's intelligent, he's funny, he's kind, he's loving, he's every good thing. And I think, why isn't he just taking over the world? Why isn't he just living to the full potential that I can see clearly in him? He can't see it himself yet. And my job as a parent, I believe, is trying to help him see that. But it's not, there's nothing that I can say that will fix him automatically. There's nothing that I can say that will cause him to immediately write just a bumper sticker slogan that I needed to, you know, email him. He has to take The devil wants to lie to him, wants to keep him insecure, keep him in his room, keep him doing fun things like video games, distract him. Aiden has to take from the devil what is his. Aiden has to make himself the stronger man and take away the armor. I have to do that same thing, and as long as I'm looking at everyone else, I can't do that. To be the father that I want to be the teacher that I want to be the man that I want to be, is difficult. It's so difficult because I flew in at 2 in the morning and I'm tired. And the next day I'm tired and I'm cranky and my kids are asking me for things, but I'm irritated, and so I'm short with them. And their feelings are hurt by that, and our relationship is damaged by that. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants us separated. But it's up to me to figure out how to do that. Does that make sense, Steve? I have to take what is mine from the devil. But the issue is, how do I do that? I have to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His guidance. Each step. So that when I'm at my job, when I'm at my house, He will guide me so that I can work on myself. It is so easy for me to play video games and eat junk food. Why is it easy to eat pizza and watch Netflix, and it's difficult to eat healthy and work out? Well, some people would say the pizza tastes better and sitting on the couch is much, much nicer. But in the long run, there's nobody who doesn't know that working out and eating healthy is better for you in the long run. And yet, we continually do things to self-sabotage. It's the lie. Hey, Bill. How's it going, man? The real issue is being able to hear the voice and take the action. Being aware of what the devil's plan is for me. Taking the kids was a good thing to set to Washington, D.C. But being tired gives an opportunity for the devil to attack. Gives an opportunity for me in my weakness to say something in irritation or in anger. And it's up to me to listen to the Holy Spirit and take that action somehow. Humble myself, quiet myself, reflect on myself, taking that time, that action, instead of the easy route of going on Instagram, playing video games, whatever it may be. Do not be distracted this week, whatever it may be. Pray and think about your actions. I don't know what the answers are for all of you. I don't even know what all the answers are for me. But if we are diligent, they will be revealed. I think to myself often, I have a friend who's from another country. And they've moved to America. And sometimes I get Facebook. It's a little bit of like... I don't want to get too political, but he's a little bit like one of the people who believes in conspiracies. And I get a lot of emails about, like, you know, Hillary Clinton being the Antichrist. Like, I knew it. I'm just joking. And I get all these emails and the Facebook posts, and I normally just kind of ignore them. And who am I to say what the real nature of Hillary Clinton is? But I would argue that person's time would be better served reflecting on their own behavior in life instead of sending me emails about how I'm wrong politically. Is there an email that they can send me where I'll be like, you know what? You're right. You're right. You're right. No. They're going to send me emails. I'm going to send them emails. We're going to post things at each other, and both of us are going to be angry. Instead of trying to find some common ground, instead of reflecting on myself and thinking, you know what, Gabe, maybe you don't know everything. Is it in the realm of possibility, Todd, that maybe I don't know everything? Reflecting on my own actions, on my own behavior, how I can be a better father, how I can be a better teacher, and take back what the devil wants to steal from me, what he has stolen from me. Being the man that the Lord will guide me to be will command the respect that I want anyways. I have to get it. I have to take it. I have to earn it. For so long, I wasn't earning anything, and I was saying everything. It was no coincidence then that nobody listened. Even now, I often think, what do I have to say to the people who listen, who are just as intelligent and wise and informed as I am? Nothing. I can only try and listen to the voice and live my life as best as I can, and people will decide for themselves. Either this guy's full of it, or maybe he has something to offer. Maybe he's learned something through his millions of wrong decisions and the process of humbling himself. Do not be lied to. The benefits will be yours when I am behaving the way the Lord wants me to, in humility and love and kindness. My children see that, and they come up and talk to me. When I am behaving in arrogance, condescendingly talking down to them, irritatingly yelling at them, I can see them close off. They're my benefits. The Lord gives them to me, but I have to take them. I have to take them. In my actions, in the way that I eat, in the way that I think, in how often I pray, I take them. Away from the thief, I take them. I go into the house, I take off the armor, and I plunder the house for what I deserve. What I will have. Health and strength in my body, love and respect for my children. I take it through my actions, not my words. I have to take it. I can't post it. I can't email it. I can't speak it and yell it, he says after just yelling. I have to earn it. But I'm going to be the one who gets the rewards. I will be the one. When I eat right and live right, I'm the one who feels healthy. When I follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I'm the one who gets peace in my mind, love in my heart. I reap all of the benefits because I've taken them. And the more that I step away, the more I turn my head from it, then I reap the consequences. The more that I close my mind and close my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more I suffer. And I can tell you, I have suffered. But there is hope. There's hope for each and every one of us. I do not know the nature of creation yet. I do not know the nature of the Trinity yet. But I know that God loves me, and He sent a helper to guide me in my life, that will heal me, that will give me love in my heart for my children that I always do, but for my students, for my fellow man and woman. And that at the end of it all, the hope that I will see the ones that I love again. That's good. That's the gospel. Six days? A billion years? Irrelevant. Here and now, today, this morning, this week, the hope, the peace, the kindness that I can feel, that you can feel, it's tangible. Be encouraged this week. The devil's lie for you is not the same lie he has for me. It might be different. Maybe he lies to you about your job or your health or somebody who you love's health. Maybe he lies to you about fear and causes you to worry. Maybe he causes you to stress. Maybe he causes you to doubt. Maybe he causes you to hate. It's a lie. It's a lie. And with patience and perseverance, listening to the guidance, you can sift it out and you will get the benefits. You'll get the benefits in your mind, in your body, in your soul. You got to take them. I often don't know what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen with this building? What's going to happen with my loved ones? What's going to happen with my friends? The devil tries to scare me. What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to this building? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And when I dwell on that, I'm terrified. I'm frozen in fear. But when I'm able to take the action, praying, listening to the Holy Spirit, I feel peace. And in that peace, I know the next step. I know the next step. What will they say, Gabriel, when they find out you're preaching at church? You of all people. Lord, help me. Guide me. He gives me peace. He gives me peace. It's good. I thank you all for being here. Well, Judd and everybody else is living it up. We're here. Just joking. It is good to be here. I was tired this morning, and I was hearing the lie. I had Lily for a sleepover, and the girls were playing Nintendo Switch at 6:30 in the morning. I woke up. I gotta do all this stuff. They gotta do the. Why don't they ever? Da, 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 da. And then I come and see your faces, and I sing some music, and I scream and rant and rave, and I feel better because His presence brings peace, and when I'm in that presence, people can feel it. But mostly me. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. Be blessed this week. Be blessed in your lives and in your bodies and in your relationships. Thank you for being here. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Are you going to sing a... Yeah, okay. So, close in prayer, and then you'll sing. Please bow your heads. Lord, thank you for another week. Thank you for this place and for these people. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and the resources to be here. Please guide us this week, Lord. Help us to hear your voice compelling us to love each other, to forgive each other. Give us peace and patience, Lord. Humble us and give us the ability to hear other people and the wisdom that they might have for us, the wisdom you have for us. Guide us, strengthen us, protect us, Lord. Bind the devil back. Silence his lies. Keep him from harming us. And bring us back next week for more time together, more time to think about you and your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing hymn number 633, Open Our Eyes, Lord. Dismissed. Have a wonderful week.